Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10. This past week, I came across a mailing by a religious group in Ohio. And it was talking about the end times. And in this mailing, they were talking about hell. And they said that hell does not exist. And the reason they gave for this is that because God is a loving God, to send somebody to hell would be very unloving, very inhumane, as they put it. And therefore, hell does not exist. And they said to be saved means you go to heaven. To be not saved means you end. You simply stop existing. This is a false doctrine. Actually, it's some of the worst scholarship I have ever seen. But they are a group and they're sending out these mailings and they're claiming to be, I suppose, Christians. But their doctrine is completely off. And the reason why it's off is because they don't like it. This is one of the most important doctrines in the Bible. It's not a pleasant doctrine. Nobody wants anyone to go to hell. But it's one of the most important doctrines. Christ died on the cross so that people could be saved. What are they saved from? They're saved from hell. Redemption, the gospel, the finished work is completely nullified by this idea, a false idea, that there is no hell. So today, albeit it's not the most pleasant topic, it is one of the most important topics there is. We're going to discuss for a few minutes the doctrine of hell. Hell is real. Hell is real. In verse 11, the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me repeat that. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. To call on the name of the Lord means that you call on his character as your Savior, as your Lord, as the King of Kings. You call on that, you turn to him as Lord. When you turn to him, you are saved. The reason why you are saved is because at least at that moment, it's an activity of faith toward Christ. Now, one of the problems that people have sometimes, especially those people who think that either there is no hell or you can lose your salvation or one of these other types of really blatantly false doctrines, is that they don't understand what it means to be saved. Well, I understand that I get saved by calling on the name of the Lord, by faith in Christ. I receive him as my Savior. Many believers understand that. But why? And the question is important because if I don't understand how salvation actually works, not simply how I enter into salvation, but why a person is saved because of that, then I will have a difficulty with this notion of hell. Then I won't understand why even people would go to hell. In Matthew 7:23, there are those people that Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Those people never knew him in a time reference. Never is talking about time. It is a time reference. Why didn't he know them? In 1 John 3:20, he knows all things. Why didn't he know them? In time. The reason is because there was never a moment of faith. In Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. No faith equals sin. In 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ removes all sin. It doesn't matter what type of sin. It removes all sin. So whatever is not of faith is removed by the blood of Christ. In Psalm 103:12, he separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now that is not a geographic reference, even though it sounds like one. That is a time reference. Einstein showed us that space and time are the same thing. That's why they no longer call it space. They call it space-time. Space and time are the same thing. So if sin is removed as far as the east is from the west, sin is removed out of time. So the blood of Christ removes the person out of time who never had a moment of faith. Because they never had a moment in their life that was not sin. And therefore, their entire life is removed by the blood of Christ from time. He never knew them. If there is even a moment of faith toward Christ, then at least for that moment, they will not be removed from time. That moment will stay in time. Christ will know them because he knows all things. He knows every moment of time. And when there is a moment of faith, he'll know them. Salvation is much easier than people realize. Some people call it easy believism. Christ gave his life for easy believism. So you can't say it was easy believism. Understand why you're saved. You're saved because there was a moment, at least one, hopefully many, but at least one, in time, where you trusted Christ. A moment of faith toward Christ. That moment cannot be removed from time. Therefore, Christ knows you. If he knows you, you're saved. If he doesn't know you, you're not saved. So when people go to hell for lack of salvation, it's because there's no place for them in heaven. He did not know them. So now we continue in verse 14. How will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. Now, this is very important that we recognize what faith is. Faith comes from the hearing of the word of God, Romans 10:17. So a person may say, I have faith, but I don't have it toward Christ. That's not faith. In English, we call it faith. Other languages probably do also, but it's not faith. It's believism. But it's not faith. Faith comes from the hearing of the word of God. So the only place where I can get faith, which will not be removed by the blood of Christ, is in a response to the word of God. Then there is faith. Anything else, even though I may believe it, it's not faith, it's believism. It's not faith. We have to see things through God's perspective if we are to be rightly related to God. So God says whatever's not of faith is sin. It gets removed by the blood from time. But those things that are of faith come from His Word. I respond to His Word. I call on the name of the Lord because I know Christ is Lord. I turn to the nature of God. That's faith. I want to be saved. Yes, God, I want to be saved. Christ, save me. That's faith. Because it's established in His Word. Now it's faith. If I say, somebody else save me, Buddha or whoever else, save me, it's not going to do a lick of good. It's not faith. It's believism. In Genesis 3:15, you may not recognize this initially, but this is where hell was introduced. I will put enmity, He says to the serpent, between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, it shall bruise your head. The seed of the woman was to bruise his head. You shall bruise his heel. In Romans 16:20, the Word of God says that the God of all peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. To bruise Satan under your feet means that Satan goes to hell. That which he does ends up in hell. Those who cooperate with him, if they never repent and they never get saved, they end up in hell. So, him being bruised under your feet means he is in hell. Hell is under your feet. In Matthew 25:41, there's an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is what hell is about. It was made for demons and for Satan. Hell was never created for people. People go there, but the intention is not for them to go there. The intention is for them to develop a relationship with Christ. There is no plan B in God's plan. There is plan A only. You get saved through the gospel, and then you have a relationship with Christ. You end up in heaven because of your faith. This is God's plan, plan A. That's the only plan that exists. There is no second plan. The alternative, because there must now be an alternative, is hell. Satan, when he rebelled against God, in Ezekiel 28:15-18, and in Revelation chapter 12, he took one third of the angels with him in that rebellion. Isaiah 14:15 says he ends up in hell because of that rebellion. But nobody chooses hell. But people end up there anyway. In Deuteronomy 32:22, a fire is kindled by my anger and it burns to the depths of Sheol. Hell is made for those who will face God's anger. Lucifer, when he rebelled against God, God became very angry. The fallen angels, when they rebelled against God with Lucifer, God became very angry. In Genesis chapter 6, when angels that had bodies procreated with women, God became very angry. There are times when God becomes very angry. So this is a place that is the result of the anger of God. Satan doesn't want you to believe in hell. Why are groups like that saying there is no hell? Because Satan doesn't want you to believe in hell. If there is no hell, what's the point of salvation? If there is no hell, then essentially there's no accountability. If there is no hell, you don't need God in your life. And so Satan does not want you to believe in hell. You need God in your life for much more than not going to hell, but hell is the first step. You don't want to go to hell. That's the first step, not the last one. Hell is for those who will face the anger of God. Now, there are four hells, if you will, in the Bible. Four words for hell. And I'm going to use Geisler's definitions for these. These are good definitions. The first one is Sheol. That's a Hebrew word, and it speaks of the grave or the place of spirits. More often than not, it's talking about wicked spirits. The second one is Hades. Now, I'm bringing this up because that's one of the points that people who want to deny hell will often talk about. They say, well, Sheol and Hades, it's talking about death. It's not talking about what we call hell, hellfire kind of a hell. False statement. Hades is Greek, and it's from a Greek concept. And it refers to the place of the wicked spirits. Then there is the word Gehenna, that's also translated as hell. The Valley of Gehenna was a place outside of Jerusalem, and it was a putrid dump that was perpetually on fire. And that's referred to hell also. So there's an analogy being made with the word Gehenna. And then finally, there's the word Tartarus. Tartarus is a subterranean place below Hades where certain angels that have fallen are being kept, and we'll talk about them in a second. Now, Isaiah 14:9 says, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. Hell is in the center of the earth. Sometimes people ask, where is hell? I actually had a guy ask me one time. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in hell. He would ask Christians this as his got you aha question. Where is hell? And unfortunately, often the Christians weren't able to tell him where hell is. Hell is in the center of the earth. It is from beneath. It is in the center of the earth. And it stirs when somebody goes into hell. It actually reaches up to meet the person who's entering into hell. It's a dreadful place. Revelation 20, verse 2. After the tribulation, Michael the archangel will cast Satan and his demons into hell. They will remain there for almost, not quite, 1,000 years. During the millennial reign, there will be no Satan, there will be no demons, except for the last 3.5 years. Then they'll be released again to test the hearts of men. There will be a huge war that takes place at that time. It will be Satan and his demons waging war against God and his people and his angels. Now, they will, of course, be defeated, but multitudes will follow Satan. Multitudes. Those are the people from the millennium that will end up in hell. Those who do not follow him, those are the people who accept Christ as their king, as their savior, they will not end up in hell. But for 1,000 years, Satan and his angels will be bound in hell. Now, in 2 Peter 2:4, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. This is Tartarus. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. In Jude chapter 6, this is referring to the angels from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4. These angels had body, they had offspring with women, they developed a half-breed race. These beings were giants who were extremely cruel and extremely violent. And they were half angel, half human. These angels with bodies are now in this place called Tartarus. Now, they're not God's angels, they're fallen angels. But they are in this place called Tartarus, this place below Hades. They are chained there. They exist today, except they're bound there. They will be released for a short season during the tribulation. During the tribulation, it's going to be dreadful. But when the angel opens the door of the pit and the smoke comes out, that's talking about demons. These demons are going to be released until the end of the tribulation. It's going to be dreadful for those people who are here. Thankfully, nobody who's saved today will be here for the tribulation. Now, that deals with the angels. Hell is created for the angels. It was not created for us. It's created for the angels. Now, people do go to hell. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2, those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some of them to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's not saying that their soul is asleep. It's saying that their body is dead. Sleep is one of the words that the body uses for death. And so the people who are dead at the resurrection, which is also the first resurrection, the rapture, they happen at the same time. Those people who are saved, the souls that are in heaven, they will meet their physical body. It will be glorified and they'll be reunited with their physical bodies. They won't be bodies of sin. They won't be bodies of sickness. They will be perfected, but they'll be their physical bodies. Now, what we don't always realize is the resurrection is not only of the saved, but of the unsaved also. Those people who are not saved will be reunited with their physical bodies. And those bodies will be in hell. And that's dreadful. Their bodies are not glorified, except that they won't be able to die. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So Jesus is telling you, it's not just the soul that enters into hell, it's the body also. You also see this in Matthew 9, verses 29 to 30. It's not just the soul, it's also the body that ends up in hell. Hell is a place where the body will burn. It is a place of fire. That fire is never quenched. People often say, well, it can't be a place of fire because it's supposed to be a place of darkness. The hottest fire that exists, you can't see. And so, hell is the hottest fire that exists. It's going to be a dreadful place. In Matthew 13:49, at the end of the age, and it's talking about the end of the tribulation, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. At the end of the tribulation period, those who do not get saved end up being cast into hell, and they're going to be in this tremendous torment. It's not a happy thought. It's a dreadful thought. It's a heartbreaking thought. Unfortunately, though, this is the reality. No one has to end up in hell. No one has to end up in hell. God did not desire for any person to go to hell. But people's choices. That's it right there. It's just people's choices. It's a place of gnashing of teeth, gritting their teeth because of the torment. Now, you know how hot it is when you burn your hand or a finger. Have you ever grabbed a pot or something that was hot and you accidentally touch it with your finger and you burn your finger, you get a blister on it and it hurts? Imagine. Don't imagine too much. One of the things, and be careful about this, while hell is real, don't dwell on it too much. If you are born again, you cannot go there. But don't dwell on it too much. Know about it. Let it be a motivation for soul winning. If you're lost, let it be a motivation to get saved. But don't dwell on it too much. Because it'll make you nuts. The thought that people would go there is dreadful. And that's why you get groups like this will say, well, if he's a loving God, this loving God is righteous. Yes, he's loving, he's righteous, he's holy, he's just. And he gives everybody every opportunity possible. He couldn't make it. There's absolutely no way to make it easier to go to heaven. You can do nothing at all except believe on Christ and you end up in heaven. But when you reject what God gave you to get to heaven, it's your own choice. Nobody chooses hell, but they choose against Christ. And they end up in hell. In Luke 16:23, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This is a historical account. This is not a parable. Parables do not contain proper names. So if you see something in the Bible, especially something Jesus is saying, and you're wondering to yourself, is this a parable or is this history? If it has a proper name, it's history. That's one of the ways you identify historical facts from parables. The rich man being in torment in Hades, hell, the place of wicked spirits. Now, you wouldn't call the rich man a wicked guy. He actually was a pretty good guy. This is a guy who had Lazarus, a beggar, sitting at his gate, and the rich man would always make sure that there was food sent from his own table to Lazarus. That's kind. So it's not like the rich man was a bad guy. But remember, whatever is not of faith is sin. So even though he was a nice guy, he didn't have a moment of faith toward Christ, and therefore his entire life ended up being sin. Sin is not that you're a nasty person. And the lack of sin is not that you're a nice person. It's all about faith that comes from the Word of God. So even a very nice person can end up in hell. Now, there are people who will have trouble with that. Why do they deserve hell? It's not a question of deserving or not deserving. No one deserves heaven. It's not a question about deserving or not deserving. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one deserves heaven. They go there because of a moment of faith toward Christ so that he can know them. It's not that these people deserve per se hell. It's they never had the one thing that would prevent them from going there, which was a moment of faith, which couldn't be any easier. It was offered on a whosoever will basis by God who did everything for them to be able to go to heaven. All they had to do is say, yes, Lord. And they refused. So the only other option was hell. It is a dreadful place. And there are some nice people there. But without faith, it's impossible to please him in Hebrews 11:6, even if that is a nice person. If I want to go into a movie theater, I don't go up to the window, or I don't go up in the line, or the guy says, "Can I have your ticket?" And I say, "I'm a nice guy." And he says, "Come on in, you're a nice guy." He says, "Where's your ticket?" "I'm a nice guy. You still need a ticket." Christ is giving tickets for free. You don't say, "I don't want your ticket." Christ is giving them for free. The rich man was in torment in Hades and lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this," and this is the point I want you to get right here, "between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Once a person is in hell, they're in hell for good. There's no means by which they can get anywhere else. Now, at this point, people did not go to heaven. They went to paradise. When Jesus died on the cross, he was talking to the thief who died with him, the one thief, who said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And Jesus responded to him, "Today you will accompany me into paradise." That was not heaven. That was a place in the center of the earth that was next to hell. That was where he saw Abraham. That was where the saints, and that is to say those people who were saved prior to Jesus' being on earth, that's where they went. They didn't go to hell if they were saved. They went to paradise. When Jesus came, when he ascended, those people ascended also, and they went to heaven with him. And so when Jesus went to heaven, they went to heaven. Until Jesus went to heaven, they were in paradise. He went essentially to collect them, and then they went to heaven with him. We, because Jesus had already been here, because the crucifixion had already taken place in time, we go directly to heaven. We don't go to paradise. There is a great gulf fixed. It is literally impossible for someone in heaven to enter into hell. It is literally impossible for someone in hell to enter into heaven. Now, you do hear these stories, these accounts, and I do believe they're real, where people are falling into hell. They cry out to Christ at the very last moment, and he delivers them. But there's one thing consistent. When he delivers them from that, they were not in hell yet. There are people, and I've heard about a number of them, who did go to hell, but the doctors saved their lives, and they didn't stay there. Those people get saved when they get back. Doctors save their lives. They're back again here in time. They get saved because they decide to trust Christ. Religion didn't save them. Christ did. There are cases of people who are very religious with certain large denominations that say, be a part of our denomination, that's the way to get to heaven, and they end up in hell. But fortunately, doctors manage to save their lives. And then when they're back in time, they get saved. You cannot go from one to the other. It is a place of great torment. It is a flame. The rich man was tormented in flame. What always amazes me, and I've mentioned this a number of times before, that Lazarus didn't ask for salvation, didn't ask for deliverance, didn't ask for mercy. He asked for water. He's talking to Abraham. And he knew exactly who Abraham was. He didn't say, can you ask God? He said, can you send Lazarus with some water? It made sense. He delivered food to Lazarus every day. Can you have Lazarus deliver some water to me? This isn't doctrine, but I believe it's true. That people in hell, if they could get saved, wouldn't get saved. The rich man had an opportunity, and he wouldn't take it. In Matthew 23:15, and this is kind of disturbing in a way, because it talks about the condition of a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not. It says there, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. That means a convert. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? In Matthew 7:21-23, that person to whom Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, they were claiming to him their religious works as the foundation by which they should go to heaven. They say, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? And in your name, didn't we cast out demons? And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. There are religions that teach, large religions, that being a part of that religion is the way to go into heaven. Religion doesn't save. Christ saves. Faith from the Word of God saves. Being a card-carrying member of a certain denomination or a certain religious group will not save you. Only Christ saves. He was the only one that was ever sent, who ever came to bring salvation. Only Christ saves. This may not be popular with a lot of people, but I'll tell you one thing. If you are listening to this online and you don't like this idea, I'll guarantee you, you will like hell far less. Only Christ saves. That's it. No one can be saved by their religion. You are saved by grace through faith in Ephesians 2:8. Not of yourselves. By grace through faith. That's it. That's what keeps you from hell. In Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false prophet that are coming in the tribulation are going to end up in hell. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. This is what happens after the millennial reign. When heaven and earth pass away, the next major event the Bible describes is the Great White Throne Judgment. That is a judgment, you could call it the final judgment, where Satan and the demons will be taken out of hell and cast into a lake of fire. Hell and the lake of fire are two different places. Right now, hell is in the center of the earth. Right now, those people who go into hell go into the center of the earth. After the tribulation, Satan and the demons will be cast into the center of the earth. When the earth passes away, hell will pass away with it. But those who are currently in hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Now each person will stand before God, but there will be no place found for them. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. These are the books of remembrance and the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the death that were in them. Remember, Hades being the place for wicked souls, souls that never got saved. So, hell gave up people. And it does. The souls that are in hell don't know how long that will take, but they will be before God. And they will be judged according to the works that God has written in His books of remembrance. Now, there are two books called the Book of Life. One is the Book of Life, one is the Lamb's Book of Life. More specifically, Lamb's Book of Life is described in Revelation 13:8. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will never go to hell. If your name is simply in the Book of Life, then you will be evaluated. The Book of Life is the names of all those who lived. The Lamb's Book of Life is all those who were saved. That's why your name can be taken out of the Book of Life, but not the Lamb's Book of Life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Those who were in hell are cast into the lake of fire after the judgment. God will show them every opportunity they had and every opportunity they passed up. And anyone not found written in the Book of Life, this is the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. We're going to be there to witness that. It's going to be horrifying, frankly. This is the one thing in heaven that will be difficult. We are going to be in the grandstands as these people are being judged. and then one by one cast into the lake of fire. And yes, we will weep buckets of tears, because they may be people we knew, friends, even family members in some cases. And we will weep buckets of tears. But it says also in Isaiah 66:24 that those in heaven will be repelled by these people, and they'll find them contemptible. And the fire will never cease in the lake of fire, and the conscience will never stop accusing them. So for eternity they're in hell, eternity their conscience is accusing them, for eternity the fire never stops. This is why we tell people about Christ. There's so many people who are angry when Christians go and tell people about Christ. If you get angry, you're online and you're listening to this because somebody tells you about Christ, don't be angry when somebody tells you that your house is on fire. They're trying to save your life. Don't be angry when we tell you about Christ and about hell. We're trying to save your life. In John 3:16, God loved the world in this way. Yes, He loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. Sit right there. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Now, this is the part that people don't understand. God doesn't send them into hell. They send themselves. But that the world through Him might be saved, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now you may say to yourself, my deeds weren't evil. Evil is Satan's government. It's not a quality of action. Satan's government in Psalm 94:20 is a throne of iniquity. Iniquity is self-orientation. They were governed by self-orientation, is what this is saying. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. If a person does not believe, then they're condemned already. It's not that God sends them into hell per se. Yes, they do go into hell. But it's that they don't appear in time. Because there was no faith. So their life was only sin. The blood removes sin. That is simply the activity of blood. The blood removes sin from time. The only alternative is hell. You either end up in time, which will take you to heaven, or you do not end up in time, which will take you to hell. It's all based on whether you have faith that comes by the Word of God applied toward the Son of God. That's it. Anything else is self-orientation. And God calls it evil. And those people who live in faith, those people are known by God. No one was meant to go there. Unfortunately, especially in this age, most people do. But they don't have to. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you." Amen.